Marius Pashal playing in the
We met last week. We had to make some changes. So we the procedure is that we must consider the clause by clause, those changes that we have effected to the bill, so that we can then adopt it formally, and then we can send it for ATC, and hopefully take it to the National Assembly for adoption. So there is also a report there that I think we will have to adopt at the end of the meeting. So we are in the capable hands of the chief state law advisors. They are going to guide us in this process. Welcome, we always appreciate your presence. When we see you here, we know that we are not going to take wrong decisions. We are going to be properly advised. So, over to you.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Chair. Good morning, everybody. The amendments that the committee requested us to effect was the amendments to Clause 10 and Clause 11 of the B Bill. Okay. There's a draft C-list which we have prepared, which directs where the amendments are to be effected in the B Bill. Okay. And then there's the draft D Bill, which has amendments affected in the D Bill. So we look at both side by side, the C-list and the D Bill. Okay. So the first amendment would be on page 6, which was in the B Bill, on page 6 from line 26.
B. It's a B.
No,
90. Okay. Yeah, I'm trying to follow, but continue.
Okay. You can just stop me at any stage.
No, it's fine. The B and the D. I don't know why I'm the only one struggling here with the B and the B.
Yeah,
yeah, but I'm following now.
Okay. So in the B Bill, on page 6 from line 26, we omitted subsection 4.
Okay.
And then on page 6 from line 28, we omitted subsection 5 and we substituted the new subsection 4, which read, a decision of the Director General Committee, comma, must be made by consensus, comma, and we know consensus is reached, comma, all the proposed options must be presented to the Ministerial Committee for a final decision, full stop. And then on page 6 from line 33, we renumbered subsections 6 and 7 to subsections 5 and 6 respectively because of the proposed deletion. Okay. The next amendment would be to clause 11 of the B Bill. If you look at page 6, from line 58, to omit subsection 4. And then on page 7 of the B Bill, from line 1 to omit subsection 5 and to substitute the following subsection. The final decision made by the Ministerial Committee in terms of this Act must be made by consensus, full stop. Okay. And then on the B Bill, which is on page 7 from line 4, to renumber subsection 6 and 6, 7 and 8 to 5, 6 and 7 respectively. And we checked the, we've got a draft of the D Bill this morning, and we checked the D Bill and the amendments. We confirmed that it's correctly reflected in the D Bill.
Okay, that's that. A very brief amendment. Well, brief submission. Can I get an indication from the members? Are you happy with everything else? Can I get the department?
Morning, Chair. Morning, Honourable Members. Yes, the department's in agreement with the amendments, Chairperson.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, then. It looks like you have competently executed your job. We would like to thank you. Do we adopt, do we confirm, members? I see the nodding of the head, so we are confirming. Honorable Makubel?
Yeah, for purposes of records, I wanted to move that we
okay.
Adopt.
Move. Who seconds? See Honorable Steenkamp nodding ahead. Are you seconding? Honorable Perez? Seconds. All right. Thank you very much. So I guess we'll take this report together with the first report to be published, and then we'll go to the House for adoption. Thank you very much. Okay, let's get to the next one. That was quick. Yeah? What happened last week? All right. Okay, let's just deal with the apologies quickly. Morning. Well, we've got apology from the minister. Who's in will be traveling to Pretoria for some other engagements, and also the deputy minister is currently in Pretoria. She was supposed to attend the meeting with the traditional leaders, so it was postponed last night, and she was already in Pretoria. So those are the two apologies that we have. We don't have other apologies. I know that on Wednesday other members are attending. I think two members are attending other committees. Honorable Kekana is not yet back. She's not yet back from bereavement. She's still dealing with the issues. I hope that is a necessary approval from the Chief Whip and from Parliament as well, because it has been quite some time. Are you ready? Okay. I saw the DG around. Welcome, DG. And the officials from the department, they're all welcome. I see some new faces. We're going to get introductions soon. Okay. Mangalis, welcome. Over to you.
Good morning, sir.
Looks like you're in a hurry coming here.
We'll get
are you,
were
you running? Okay. We put on ties when you come here. We can borrow you one. Okay, I see. All right.
So thank you very much for the opportunity. We appreciate being granted the opportunity to share with the committee what we are planning to do in the year ahead. I have with me the interim CEO together with the chief financial officer. The presentation will be shared between the two of them. Just want to indicate at the point of the introduction that this becomes one performance, annual performance plan that has been the most inclusive in the process, in that it involves the boards, the executive, and the staff in the organization, with great support from the Department of Environmental Affairs. So what we're presenting is not something that if you were to be visiting people up in the park, they would say, sorry. So it has been a very consultative process. We will be sharing with you, and you will see some of the images that come through that relate to previous dispensation, but we are marching along into the new dispensation with, I think, a more cohesive entity altogether. I will hand over to the interim CEO, Dr. Gurdia, to give us the presentation.
Morning,
okay. Morning, Doc.
Morning to members.
Yeah, so it's still interim?
Yeah.
Okay. So how long have you been there?
I've been there 6 months now, ending this week.
Okay. So 6 months ending this week?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. Good to see you.
Still interim?
Okay.
Thank you, Doc. Over to you.
Yeah, we're going to skip the legislative mandates and what have you, and we're going to go straight to program one, which is PAP operations, because we generally have gone through this. Except to add, as the Chair has said, that we are going through a massive transformation process. We're on track. We're working on human resources policies at the moment. We need to complete the exercise by mid-April, and the organogram is being restructured on the basis of meeting new imperatives in and around the park and in terms of the mandate that we need to put in place. But that hasn't altered the position with regards to what we're going to present today, and we hope that we will be coherent and do a good job. It's outlined in terms of the strategic objective, the performance indicator, the baseline, and the target that we want to achieve. The number of hectares burnt in controlling the burning program, the baseline is 135. Oh, sorry. The number of park management meetings attended with day-to-day conservation managers, the baseline was 6 and the target was 6. The number of new environmental audits completed was 6 and the target was 6. Number of follow-up environmental audits completed was 6 and the target was 6. The number of environmental monitors deployed in Isamangaliso were 28 and the target is 120. I need to qualify that on the basis that we have appointed 70 new monitors this month, and we hope to actually meet the target as the year moves on. Right, and they are beginning work. They are already in training, to understand the environmental duties that they need to perform within the wetland park. The number of hectares of invasive alien plants treated was 27,795 was the baseline, and our target is 45,000. So technically we are on track, and we hope to actually fulfill that mandate. The number of kilometers of accessible coastline cleared was 320, and the target is 320. The number of hectares burnt in control burning program was 1,035. It's ongoing, and our target is therefore 2,500. We are expressing everything in terms of a percentage, because this was basically the mandate of DEA as we compile the ATP. The percentage of applications processed in respect of development in the buffer zone, 100. We're standing at 80, and our target is 80, and this is dependent on funding being received
from the department. The percentage identified unauthorized development activities action legally was 100, and the target is 100. Percentage completion of annual infrastructure maintenance program was 100, and the target is 100. Effective partnership and stakeholder relations, the number of annual stakeholder engagements conducted including park forums is 60, and the target is 60. Communication strategy developed and implemented is a new indicator, and this will be implemented over a five-year strategy, which has been approved. The number of community-based communication events were 2, and the target is 2. To optimize socioeconomic benefits to local communities, the number of full-time equivalent jobs, 517 was the baseline, and our target is 550, so I think that we are on target with regard to achieving that mandate. The number of training days, 4,785, and it's our target is 4,800. The number of SMEs participating in skills and development programs, 371, and our target at the moment is 100, and that is largely due to the fact that we don't have the budget at the moment. The number of bursaries awarded, the baseline was 36, the target is 37. We might need to alter this given the fact that there might be free education that is going to be implemented, and therefore we need to reassess that particular issue and see where we can deploy the money accordingly. BEE spend on majority black-owned suppliers as a percentage of qualifying expenditure, the baseline was 50, and our target is basically 60. Program 3, improve financial sustainability of the park. Revenue to the park from commercial sources ran in million. Our target is 20.7 and our baseline is 17.4. The number of paid visitor entries, 196,932, and our target is 250,000. Number of non-paying local neighbor entries, 130,400, our target is 135,000. What this basically means is we allow access to local communities free of charge to enter the park in terms of the whole empowerment process and for them to actually appreciate what the wetland actually is. Percentage implementation of commercial development plan, the baseline is 60 and we hope to actually target 80. Enhanced promotion and marketing of the park, the number of annual marketing events implemented was 5. The target is 4. It might seem a bit anomalous, but it's not, because we needed to use the 2015-16 baseline because it was audited. The percentage implementation of annual marketing and PR program, 100, and the target is 100. Appropriate tourism and conservation infrastructure, percentage implementation of annual infrastructure program, the baseline is 90, and our target is 100. Effective knowledge management system, percentage of new independent research proposals approved that relate to management, 50, target 50. Park monitoring program implemented, monitoring impacts of implementation on the ecological health of Lake St. Lucia, and the monitoring of impacts of implementation on the ecological health of Lake St. Lucia is our target. Number of visitor market surveys, 2, baseline, and the target was 2. Equitable access for schools for environmental education and awareness, number of learners visiting the park, 4,500 is the baseline, and our target is 5,000. To develop plans, policies on program 4 and strategies, percentage implementation of plans to mitigate impact of identified threats to rare and endangered species and ecosystems, percentage of completion of plans requested required within the financial year, baseline 80, target 80, initiation and implementation has begun. To maintain good governance and a sound control environment, we received an unqualified external audit opinion, unqualified opinion, and the target was unqualified opinion. To staff the organization with appropriate skilled people in order to deliver against its mandate and business plan, the percentage of detention skilled. Our baseline is 80 and our target is 90. Sound plans, policies and strategies for protected area management. Number of plans completed, baseline 2, target 2. Number of plans implemented, baseline 2, target 2. Sound corporate governance, unqualified external audit opinion, unqualified opinion, and the target is an unqualified opinion. Adequate, appropriately skilled and diverse workforce. Percentage of retention of skills, 90, 90, which basically means there is no attrition. Effective and efficient information and communication technology systems. The number of business systems improvements implemented is a new baseline, and therefore our target is true. The dynamic VUCA, volatility, uncertainty, complexity, ambiguity, operation environment. The risk consequences as follows. Loss of World Heritage status, damage to reputation and brand agency, becomes irrelevant and fails to raise funding and attract investment. Inability to meet set delivery targets, heightened pressure on natural resources, including unauthorized illegal activities in the park, increased cost of operation, increased pressure from stakeholders. Mitigation plans are as follows. Assess ways in which work can be done so that it meets requirements of multiple pieces of legislation in the interest of efficiency and cost effectiveness. The establishment of partnerships with other implementing agencies rolling out programs that are compatible with park objectives, open and regular communication. Poor service delivery from contracted business partners can lead to a risk of loss of world heritage status, stretch of limited internal resources, financial human resources, and so forth, dissatisfaction of primary stakeholders, and indeed, the loss of revenue. Monthly assessment, the mitigation plans are monthly assessments of service levels, penalties in contracts, standard setting, and monitoring. Shortage of key and scarce and critical skills, the risk consequences, possible disruption of service delivery, loss of institutional memory, continued vulnerability of key, scarce and critical skills, high dependence on key and scarce critical skills, salary premium consequences. It also has to be mentioned that St. Lucia is not the most attractive place to actually come to, although the town is very beautiful. There are no schools and what have you to attract highly professional people to live for a long period of time in St. Lucia, and therefore this is an everlasting consequence that we need to deal with at Isimangaliso, but we're trying our best. Shortages of funding, negative impact on conservation and tourism experience, and the inability to raise funds from third parties. Inability of the park to drive research, the research agenda, for management function and other requirements. Our research currently is basically facilitated. It is not directly that we are involved in research, but we facilitate a host of universities and research institutes that want to actually be involved in conservation and scientific activity. What therefore are our mitigation plans? Extensive skills development and internships to grow the talent pool in the area. Housing stock of rent to stock market related rental, proposal to National Treasury supported by DIA to secure additional budget for personnel costs. I have spoken to the shortages of funding, and our mitigation plans are implementation of community conservation, levy fund, the proceeds of which apply to development programs, forming partnerships with the research agencies that have funding for research, preparing and submitting proposals for funding for research to donors. In continuing the strategic risk, vulnerability to fluctuations of the domestic and international tourism market. Tourism demand is affected by exogenous shocks, policies and so forth, which negatively affect visitor numbers and revenues. We see this fluctuating in our park, given the economy currently in the country, and we hope that this can pick up as soon as possible. What are therefore our mitigation plans? market diversification, outsourcing of tourism operations with a guaranteed base of private partnerships or license fee, thus reducing number of revenue sources affected by fluctuation in visitor numbers. Vulnerability to fluctuations in financial markets. Ability for private sector to raise finance for tourism projects in the park. Sourcing of donor funding for community-owned tourism plans is our mitigation plan. Structuring PPP arrangements in such a manner that the contracts are bankable but still transfer risk to the private party. I think I have gone through the four programs that we are involved in. We are pretty satisfied with what we've achieved, and the CFO will go through the budget estimates for the house.
Can I see CFO?
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, honorable members and Chair. In terms of the budget for Isimanga Park Authority, I have broken down the budget of the allocation amount of 164,208,000 into park operations, which has an amount of 81,786,000 for transformation. It's 3,956,000 for commercial. It's 16,397,000 for policy planning and research, which falls under the governance and administration. It's 4,000,000 as a result of the ending of the contract with the World Bank. This is the only money that we have raised with regards to funding for that. And for finance and administration, 57,000,000. Isimangaliso Western Park, being a World Heritage Site, and as a result of that, the bulk of the funding gets allocated to the park operations to conserve conservation and World Heritage values. This amount of 164,000,000 rand has then been broken down into salaries, and I would just like to bring to the attention or allude to the members that this figure for salaries is based on the current organogram. We are still undergoing transformation, and we have appointed 21st Century with the assistance of DIA to assist us to restructure the organization, and as a result this figure would change in the middle of the financial year. In terms of repairs and maintenance, the value is 21,461,000, and the reason for this expenditure being so high or higher than it was in the previous year was because we have taken over some of the gates from SMVelo KZN Wildlife, and we are also taking over some of the tourism areas and tourism buildings which require maintenance and repairs, and as a result of that the expenditure has been much higher. In terms of training and skills development, we've allocated 5,624,000 rand. That would change in the during the course of the year, as we have requested additional funding for youth training, and we of another 12,000,000 rand. We are just awaiting approval with regards to that. In terms of infrastructure, it is sitting at 68,461,000. We have received significant funding from DIA with regards to infrastructure in the north, which we are about to start in the new financial year. In terms of land rehabilitation, that relates to working for wetlands, to working for the coast, and to working for water. Our allocation against that is 21,000,000. In terms of other operations, the major expenditure here is the gate maintenance, the security, our audit costs, and co-management, which revenue sharing, which receives 8% of the park revenue that we generate. And that amount or allocation is 22.5 million, which brings the total expenses to 164 million. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much. Brief. Members, any questions? Are you happy? Honorable Padden, Honorable Nyambi, and Honorable Korea.
Thanks, Chair. thank you for a comprehensive report, concise.
Just a few questions. Program one, you speak of the environmental monitors, which are going from 28 to 120. I'd just like to know, what power does a monitor have? What are they? What is their core business? SMMEs, down quite considerably, 371 to 100. You did say budget, but it could be the major reason, but are there any other reasons that could affect that target? Program 3, the non-paying members, in other words, the non-paying local neighbor entries, how do you regulate that specifically during peak tourist times? Do you allocate so many tickets per month, or how do you regulate that? Schools, it's great to see so many children going through the park, but are there any other programs, any follow-up programs that you have in conjunction with the Department of Education, so the children don't just visit the park and then and never follow up on what they've learned? That's, and then the on the financial side, I'd just like to know, who's 21st Century? Are they consultants, or who are they? And then just I'd like to commend the salaries. It's not often you see an entity with 15% on salaries. Normally we see much higher figures, certainly in government circles. So I think that is a commendation. So overall, very good report, and I think what I've seen is they're doing a good job, Chair.
Thank you. A compliment. Honorable Nyambi.
Chair, I also want to welcome the report. Chair, on effective partnership and stakeholder relations, they talk about the engagement connecting including sub-forums of which the target is 60. What I want to know, Chairperson, is how many stakeholder categories do they have in the Mawai Forward Land Park, and how do they engage the different stakeholder groups? Do they engage all of them under one roof, or they separate them in terms of their category? Another one, Chairperson, is on the effective conservation of World Heritage Venues. I just want to clarify the participants of the park management meeting with the day-to-day conservation manager, of which who are the members of the park forum in the 8 months. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks a lot. Once more, a good report. I'm tempted to think, but I want to respect you anyway. I'm tempted to think that probably it's owing to the small nature of the entity. but it was going to be surprising if you had challenges presenting a report for that. But that is not taking away from you in terms of your competences, your skills, and so on. Because if you were not having the required or requisite qualifications, you could still back or run the institution down. But you're presenting us with good reports, rendering us to some degree not having enough questions to pose to you, and some members will be quiet. But let me raise three questions. The first being that now that I'm mindful of the fact that you said you are being assisted by DF to revise your organogram, but will you have sufficient resources for the envisaged organogram that you're contemplating putting in place? Or is an ambition that you don't know how to go about it? whether it will be within the 15% or it will go beyond and so on. But I'm just saying, can you just take us on board in that regard? The second issue, you indicating the communication strategy, which is a new indicator, there's no baseline. You are being commended for that. But you're saying, in terms of the number of community-based, the communication events is 2. The baseline was 2. I know for a fact that your institution used to have challenges with neighboring communities, and largely because there's no effective communication. And I do not want to believe that these communication events will be the only ones, or is what constitutes your strategy. The strategy may be broader than that. Are you saying the 2 events per year will be enough just for you to harmonize or reconcile with the community in terms of their challenges and so on and so on, so that you minimize the kind of problems that have been bedeviling the institution? The third and last issue, Chair. On the skilled people, you're saying you want to retain skilled personnel and so on, and from 80%, that is at 90%. What are you going to do? Is it a wish, or there's something that you put in place to achieve? Because you can just wish it to happen, and it may not happen if you continue to do what you used to do. And I'm saying, what efforts are you going to put over and above what you used to do to think that now, this time around, you will achieve 90%? Thanks.
Okay. See, Honorable Khadir, where you?
I was quiet.
Was challenged. Now he wants to speak.
Yes.
You can ask a question.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Honorable Makovela just invited me. Chair, I see the entity is being very ambitious when they say that they would like to increase the number of paid visitors from 196 to 250,000. Taking into consideration that the commercialization, where they speak about the number of annual marketing events that will be implemented, will be dropped from 5 to 4. What strategy do they envisage to introduce in order for them to realize the 250 paid visitors coming to the entity or to the park? I would like to find out from them what sort of strategy do they have other than those for what you call annual marketing events. Thank you, Chair.
CEO, it is still digesting.
I think the first question was on the issue of environmental monitoring. What work they do and so forth and so on. They basically monitor the park. They see transgressions, illegality. They're involved in some sort of conservation work. They are years on the ground because we work with Isabella, and I don't want to criticize anybody. It's not my duty to do so. But we have challenges with Isabella, and we need to deal with it as best as we can. And therefore, it's a strategy in the right direction.
What challenges?
Challenges in the sense that funding, right, and Isabella is not at top at the moment. Some of the security issues that they are involved with by virtue of agreement with us has collapsed, and we have to revive that using our own funding in order to maintain the World Heritage status of the park so that there is no overt criticism unnecessary. So they are pressures on our budget, and we therefore need to handle it as best as we can. Amidst that, there are a host of other issues, right, which would not be fair for me as a CEO to criticize an institution that we work with on a daily basis. And therefore, I think that
at a time, at some stage, the conservation function should be technically transferred to Isimangalis, for example. We cannot do that at the moment because there's a provincial imperative, there are jobs at stake, they are citizens of the country, and therefore we need to be sensitive with regard to this issue. What has happened with Ezenvela and us? It had collapsed in terms of not having any meetings with them, but since I've arrived, I've had close on to 4 meetings with them. Last week I set up a committee that will look at the review of regulations and the manner in which we basically engage with and how we can devolve some of the functions to them or take over some of their functions conjointly to work as a team rather than separating ourselves as the national versus the provincial government. And I think therefore Ezenvelo needs to be looked at by the provincial government more intently, and I can't speak to that because I'm not employed by the provincial government. So the monitors, coming back to that, I think they play a fundamental role, and they have been playing a fundamental role in conservation and a host of other issues. We have also appointed 3 area managers, and the environmental monitors will be actually monitored by them in terms of stakeholder relations. And therefore it's a move in the right direction, which was previously never done. And we are now moving into a 21st century direction in terms of reorganizing the park, in terms of its administrative skills, and the mandate that we need to fulfill. There was a second question, I think, on regulating entry. Regulating entry of local people becomes a very difficult task. They have been historically disadvantaged. And our policy basically is, because we live in an area that is basically and fundamentally very poor, and people are actually living in absolute poverty, not poverty. Poverty is very different from absolute poverty. We have taken a conscious decision to allow free entry of local populations in and around the area, which is also an imperative in enhancing stakeholder relations. So I think it's a move in the right direction. We're not looking at local populations to generate money. We're looking at foreign populations and visitors from outside the KwaZulu-Natal province to actually generate the economy for the park. So this is the reason, sir. With regards to the Department of Education, there was a question follow-up. I think what happens in an absolute poverty zone, people look at Isimangaliso as the central municipality of the whole area, because municipalities generally are non-functional, they are dysfunctional at the moment. We need to realize that. And therefore, I have engaged with the Department of Education. I have raised some money on my own from various sources in terms of improving toilet facilities, especially for women, girl children, solely on the basis that their dignity is lost. I went to a couple of schools because I was a former Superintendent General of Education and I have a passion for education. I'm building, but the institution is going to be building a netball field and also a soccer field for this particular school, and therefore I think I'm going beyond my mandate in terms of doing whatever I need to do to empower the local population. So what happens is, in spite of our efforts, there would still be criticism because people are poor. They say democracy hasn't brought anything to them, and I can't get engaged into those political issues because it does not fall under my mandate. I'm a bureaucrat and a technocrat, and therefore we leave that to politicians to actually sort out. Right? So I think efforts are being made. Oh yeah, the other issue is that I have 2 libraries being donated, mobile libraries from an institution that I have engaged with. We are building libraries in the north, normal libraries at schools, and therefore I think we are going beyond our mandate to actually facilitate development and empowerment of local population living in an impoverished society. The question of 21st century. 21st century is a consulting company. It's been engaged with DIA, historically and otherwise. They have facilitated a number of issues, and they, through DIA, are helping us to basically bring about a transformation process that is overdue in the organization. and they are therefore looking at human resources policies or banner brands and so forth, and therefore I think that we are in the right direction with regard to transformation of Isamangaliso, which hadn't taken place for probably 2 decades. Answering you, sir, we are indeed a small entity, but size is not the issue. The complexities remain the same. You've got to control a budget, whether it's 1 billion or 318 billion. You've got to use the PFMA. You've got to do X, Y, and Z, and you need to see that you steady the ship as best as you can. So in many ways, when you deal with conservation, Isamangaliso becomes a complex organization, because there are so many stakeholders that actually knock on our door on a daily basis, either positively or negatively.
Right.
And I have the ability of meeting with anybody that wants to meet with me to appease the situation and to develop the image of Isamangaliso, but more importantly, the image of the Republic of South Africa. Right. I think I've answered the reasons for the organogram, and you have basically said, can we sustain this? We are woefully aware that budgets are limited, we're in economic crisis. That doesn't mean we should not transform. It means basically that the optimum structure will be implemented over a period of time, over a number of years, depending on the funding that is available, and ultimately when the economy is steady, so that South Africa can get onto an even keel once again. And I think that's what we're preparing for. So it's an incremental process. I quite didn't get your second and third question. But if somebody's got it here, you would answer it for me, please. Stakeholder relations, I'll leave it to the chair, but just to add basically that it has improved tremendously. Over the last 2 months, I have had virtually 5 meetings with the Amakosi. Therefore, by implication, their community, and they therefore indicating in no uncertain terms the attitude of the management of the park has changed. They are praised me, to be quite honest. I didn't expect that, but I think I did my best, and the Amakosi are acknowledging the fact that there is a new kid on the block, and the kid is actually attempting to do his best to appease not only the Amakosi, but the local communities that are in the area. Stakeholders must also not be limited only to the Amakosi. It goes beyond that in terms of concessionaires and other issues of people that are involved in conservation, international institutions, and so forth and so on. So I think that there is an upswing with regard to stakeholder relations, and the chairperson will actually speak to that. With regard to the park forum, we have advertised them. We are going to get members from all communities to be part of the forum so that we can engage with the area managers and the people there that will participate in these forums solely on the basis that we can see what the real problems are and how to intervene as best as we can through these park forums so that they become part of the solution rather than the problem. And I think it's a move in the right direction. It has never happened in the past, and I think we need to be actually commended for advertising it and sparking these park forums in order to improve stakeholder relations. Chair, would you like to answer?
Sir, thank you very much. Reflecting further on and connecting to the question raised around the communication strategy, we not about just the 2 events, we are going to be able to ensure that there is a revision in where we are going to be expressing ourselves, how we engage with the various stakeholder groupings. Part of the work that we did as of the engagements with the stakeholders in April of 2017, May of 2017, and June of 2017, particular engagements that involved the wider stakeholder bases. And flowing from that, it became necessary for us to be able to widen our reach. And our communication strategy was formulated as a response to just that, which then says it's not just about when we hold our wider sessions which were held in Botswana and Lesotho as being key areas, but also looking into media that we have not really been exploiting extensively. For instance, part of the work that we've gone into is when you visit our park, you would find that there are areas where you would be able to have a geographic positioning of yourself, and you can start communicating to other people. That is a communication process that was not in place previously, and we're increasing that. As a result of that, people get to be able to utilize new social media as ways of communicating that were not applied previously. When we're engaging with the universities, luckily, we've extended ourselves not just to Stellenbosch, which used to be the institution that we're working closely with. We now have a working relationship with the University of Pretoria, University of Zululand, which is in our neighborhood, and the conversation process has shifted quite a bit. Included amongst our members of the board is a professor from the University of Zululand, and that has shifted the way we also express our way of reaching out to the local communities. As indicated by the CEO, we have heightened our engagement with the key stakeholders, which happen to be the land claimants trust bodies, as well as Amakosi. And issues that have obviously arisen in there have to do with the fact that there were displacements that were there in order to enable the park to be in place. But that has in itself gotten to a situation where we're saying, how do we get the community to feel like they're still owners of the park, so they don't see it as an intrusion into their livelihood and the way things happen. And part of our engagements, therefore, have been, and DEA has been very instrumental in ensuring that we have meetings held and we've got resources allocated for that, such that we will be able to increase the regularity of the engagement, but also the finding of solutions, not just the presentation of problems, but the finding of solutions together. So we're revising the media in which we're going to get things done. We're revising the stakeholder base itself. So we're not just with the traditional groupings that have been there, which have pretty much been in the commercial space. We're also widening our public reach to the communities. We've established a social and ethics committee whose primary responsibility is to improve the way in which we are reaching to the community. And the appointment of the area managers have also made it easier to be more accessible. So when you have the local Makosi or the ward councillors, as happened to me last week, wanting to be able to gain access or information on these families, they are now going to be able to get much more of that as a result of the availability of these messages. What the CEO also did not comment on, in honor of our partner, Isabella, being absent here, is the fact that they do not have the staff on the ground. And as a result, we have had to be able to take on a lot more to be able to protect, carry the brand of environment overall. And our search and our responsibility to the diversity, biodiversity, is carried out in that manner. It is also worth noting, as the CEO was responding to the issue of schools and the follow-up, that many of the people who are bursars that have received bursaries from ourselves come from the area. So they actually become the ambassadors back into the area. They begin to be people who talk careers with them. So the teachers have a role that they are playing in terms of advertising the activities that we engage in, bringing them over to the park, and after that, ensuring that there are career conversations that are held, and we're beginning to be able to find that at the University of Zululand, KwaZulu-Natal University, there's an increase of the locals who, through having been exposed to the park, have taken on conservation and environmental studies as their career.
Okay.
Sorry, Chair, if I may, the issue of the staff retention, there is a deliberate action around that, because part of the work that is being done with 21st Century is to assess the skills that we've got. We have the right people inside the organization. But we've also come to find that, particularly in the past 6 months, since there's been a reawakening of the interest and the love of the entity. And therefore, more and more people are saying to themselves, my career is going to be advancing here, I'm not going to be able to go. So it's not a case of, you know, we're going to move from 80% to 90% just by putting, by incentivizing, but just by lifting the way people feel and engage, we're beginning to find that there are lesser of people who are contemplating career advancement, but see more of their careers advance to them. Okay.
Sefo, to add?
Yes, Chair, there were some questions that were not answered. In terms of the SMMEs that you brought up, the big issue is the funding. Previously, it was funded through the World Bank, the GEF project, and currently there isn't any more funding with regards to that. So in the current year, we've used some of the community levy funding. But with the issue of the bursaries now and the fact of free education, we could be looking at relocating that funding through to the SMME program. So there could be an up in the numbers of the SMMEs during the course of the year. And in terms of the schools, we do have workshops with the schools and we also run competitions with them. So the competitions are mainly based on what on the schools attending and what they learned from there, and the competitions that then run with them on that. In terms of the number of park management meetings day to day, it has to do with Ezemvelo and the different officials with Ezemvelo, KZN, Wildland. In terms of the paid visitors dropping from 5 through to 4, the main reason here has to do with the takeover of gates from Horse Bay and Mapulani from Ezemvelo, KZN, Wildland. That has increased our number of visitors, and also our upgrading in terms of our infrastructure in Charters Creek and Barney's Island, which would attract more visitors. So that is the reason for that. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Oh, there's a hand, DJ. They are not working.
Just to add on the responses to the questions, notably the question on the 21st century, honourable members and Chair, the department 3 years ago, following the presidential review report on public entities and state-owned enterprises, there were recommendations that were made for all sectors to review both the governance matters and in respect of pay scales and how we appoint boards and so on and so on. So the department, the minister then undertook the exercise for all the DIA entities, and therefore we engaged the services of century, the 21 or 21st century, to undertake such. For Isimangaliso, so the finding was that from the functional analysis, there were questions about fit for purpose operating model and as to some of the deficiencies that were outlined related to the HR policy framework, and all of that was identified and the report was sent to the board in 2016. So the implementation thereof is taking into account those findings as well as what is then also best in terms of the current challenges that we have with our partner, which is the Provincial Conservation Agency. So therefore the question by Honourable Padden also in respect of the HR percentage is not quite consistent with other entities because Isimangaliso conservation work, both in terms of rangers and enforcement, was undertaken by Ezemvelo. So we have an agreement, or Isimangaliso has got an agreement with KZN and Ezemvelo. And therefore the challenge is that that entity experiences is impacting negatively on Isimangali. So hence the CEO was saying he's not wanting to criticize, but the environmental monitors are then funded to begin to fill in that gap. They are being trained as rangers and enforcement officers in order to be able to manage the risk that has been identified, whilst the executives are also engaging on a day-to-day operational arrangement with SMVM. And lastly, therefore, after the exercise, I guess we had agreed with the executives and even the board that would have to take that organogram through an engagement, a further engagement process with the National Treasury at an appropriate time. But as it is already indicated, it would have to be phased over time, the implementation of those changes in the structure of evidence of Isimangali. So I thought I should just make that addition. Thanks very much.
Okay. I think that was very helpful, DG. Thank you very much. We are done. I think we'll continue to engage with Simangaliso, but I think we are very happy with your APP. I think emerging from this discussion and briefing, we get assurance that the organization is in the right hands, that you know what you are doing, and I think we must just congratulate you to keep up the good work. You know, when we were conducting public hearings for special planning bill, there were a lot of complaints there about Simangaliso, but I see now you are emphasizing the question of engagement with the stakeholders so that you then deal with those issues that were raised. So we must just encourage you to continue doing that, engaging the stakeholders, making sure that there is that understanding of the role of Simangaliso. But of course, we understand that working in a in an environment where there is a lot of poverty, sometimes there might be high expectations of the kind of things that you can do, but those are the issues that you must just be able to manage in such a way that everybody else understands the mandate. And the interim CEO, I don't know how interim you're going to be here. It's now 6 months. You said you'll be here for 6 months. I don't know how far is the process of appointing a CEO, but I think you're doing a good job. You must continue remaining interim until further notice. Yeah, otherwise, keep up the good work. We are happy. Unlike one entity that we dealt with last week, we are still very unhappy about that DG. In fact, I think we are still thinking of having a very deep conversation with that entity and the board in particular as we come back. But this one, everything seems to be fine. Thank you very much. We are done with yourself. You can continue remaining being part of the meeting, or you can excuse yourself, you won't mind.
Thank you, Chair. Please excuse us.
Okay, yeah, you're excused. The WIP is also going to go into another meeting briefly and then come back. Sandy. See, the chair is of the board is around, and
the CEO and the CFO and yeah, you can make a way here, Chair. I think, Chair, if you can just briefly introduce your delegation as you start with the presentation so that we know who's here. Okay, over to you.
Good morning, Chair, and good morning, members. We will be presenting our annual performance plan. When I last met with the committee, I indicated that this would be my last year here. But we will be able to see this plan through because the minister has, in terms of been able to extend our term of office by a year. I am accompanied here by the Chief Executive Officer.
So the Minister extended until when?
Until next
April.
So I'm accompanied here by the CEO, Dr. Mushibudi Rampedi, and Ms. Carmel Mbizo, Head of Branch, Biodiversity Science and Policy Advice, our CFO, Ms. Lerato Sistone, and we have someone you have not met before, who is the acting corporate officer, Mr. Faisal Richard. Can you raise your hand so we see what he's talking about?
Faisal Richard.
Yeah. And we also have a new person who you probably will be seeing for a while until further notice. That's Mr. Craig Allenby, who is the Acting Managing Director of the National Zoological Gardens. As the members informed, the gardens will be joining us at the beginning of, in a couple of days, just of April.
Okay.
So,
Zoological Garden, Victoria.
Yes. Thank you very much. Yes,
welcome.
We're ready to present our plan. It has been a collaborative process with input from all the directorates, and the drafts were sent to DIA for review and advice. Mm-hmm. And of course, at our strategic planning, of course, we reviewed the plan, looked at the challenges, and we looked at the lessons that we've learned previously, and of course, also to look at the way forward. And from the management, we're able to take the input of the board and the DIA into consideration. And from there, it was sent to the government and strategy subcommittee to review and fine-tune it again. And then finally to the board before the minister presented the plan to parliament. Three key things that I think over and above all that I'd like to highlight is what I've already mentioned, the fact that the National Zoological Gardens will be transferred to Sandy from the 1st of April. We'll be joined by 236 employees, so it's a big entity, but we're looking forward to working with them because they're bringing in lots and lots of experience, interesting things. Their marketing is quite interesting, so we're looking forward to working with them, and we have already welcomed them, and of course I'm hoping this year we'll welcome them formally. And of course we'll also look at our honor targets this year include also the zoo. They will be reported to under program 7. The last thing that I need to mention is the fact that this year will be establishing our 11th garden as part of our garden expansion program, the Toyando Garden. So without whether I do, no, I need to mention that the Sunday also will be formally now, we've already spoken about implementing entity for the Green Climate Fund, which plays a role in the global adaptation fund. So the CEO will lead us, and of course we will be followed by the CFO, but for questions all members are available, including our new member here from the Zoological Garden. So he'll be able to address the questions directly from the CFO. So thank you very much, and for the CEO.
Okay.
Good morning, honourable members, chairperson of the committee and chairperson of the FENBI. I will be making a presentation, and the presentation is on the annual performance plan for the financial year 2018-2019. In the presentation, we will go through the programs of the South African National Biodiversity Institute. There are seven programs. As indicated, the seventh program is a new one, it's the National Zoological Garden. We will share with you the strategic objectives, the performance indicators, and the targets that have been set. The CFO will present the budget estimate, and I will conclude the presentation by going through what we have highlighted as the strategic risks that face the organization as well as the mitigation plan. The portfolio committee is aware that our vision is about biodiversity richness for all South Africans. Our mission remains the responsibility to champion exploration, conservation, sustainable use, appreciation and enjoyment of South Africa's exceptionally rich biodiversity for all people. Chair, with your permission, I will skip the policy and the legal framework. We have presented this before. There are no amendments or changes. I will then reflect on what we do and how we do it and what we influence generally. Our responsibility is to manage the gardens, and they represent foundations of living collections. Within SENBI as an institute, we manage foundations of biodiversity. This covers the collections, our responsibility towards managing taxonomy, inventories, and maps. We work around building biodiversity knowledge, and this includes the assessments that we do, the trends that we follow, the monitoring and the modeling. And all this is done in order to influence and make sure that science is turned into policy and there is the space to advise the minister when it comes to biodiversity. Overall, the intention or what we influence is about human well-being and improved service delivery, including the addressing of job creation, which is a key component of the responsibilities of government. We also ensure that as we do all this, we allocate resources for human capital development. This slide, members of the portfolio committee, is just an indication of the contribution of SENBI to the national priorities, how we are positioned, and how we fit into the medium-term strategic framework. We can also share with you that we don't only respond to the national responsibilities, but we are positioned to be able to deal with the support to the Department of Environmental Affairs. We work with other national departments. We also ensure that there is adequate advice when it comes to the implementation of international agreements that the Minister of Environmental Affairs is responsible for. Here we are presenting the high-level organizational structure of the organization. I wish to apologize to the members because the presentation was sent much earlier on to the committee. We wish to draw the committee's attention to the fact that based on the introduction of or the transfer of the National Zoological Garden. From the 1st of April, the organization will be managed following the organogram that is presented. We basically have a branch that is responsible for biodiversity science and policy advice. We have a branch that deals with financial management. We have a responsibility or chief directors that are responsible for conservation, gardens and tourism, human resources and corporate services. The introduction of the National Zoological Garden, we have not made any amendments to that structure. It will be placed into the framing for the organization, and the current acting managing director of the National Zoological Garden will report directly to the CEO's office after the 1st of April. I wish to move on to the actual program of the institute. The programs are now 7 in number. Previously, we presented the 6 programs to the committee in the past financial year. The new program will be program number 7, and it is captured as Manage and Unlock the Biodiversity Conservation Contributions and Benefits of the National Zoological Garden of South Africa. The remaining 6 programs, there are no changes. They are as they were in the previous financial year. Starting with Program 1. Program 1 is structured to render effective and efficient corporate services, and there are a number of strategic objectives that are related to this program, about 4 in number. The targets that we are setting for the 2018-2019 financial year are presented, starting with the percentage of payroll that is allocated and spent on staff development. Members will note that we do have a baseline that is 2%, whereas the target for 2018-2019 is 1%. We can explain that in the past year it was also 1%, and we are pressurized to lower the target due to constraints that are related to financial resources. The second performance indicator for this strategic objective has to do with the employment equity plan. For the 2018-2019 financial year, we are making a commitment that 45% of female staff will be on permanent and contract employment. We will address the target of 50% of female staff to be in top and senior management. When it comes to the overall staff component, our target for the next financial year is to ensure that 87% of the staff are black, and those will be on permanent and contract employment. We have set a target of 3% for people with disabilities. Still on Program 1, the second strategic objective is to implement an effective, efficient and transparent supply chain and financial management system, which is in compliance with the Public Finance Management Act. We're setting a target that we will have an unqualified audit, and we will comply with the PFMA and the required accounting standards. The third strategic objective is to improve financial sustainability of the institute, and we're setting a target that is related to the income that is gained from gate taking. We're setting a target of an increase of 3%. The last strategic objective is around effective corporate services rendered to achieve the mandate of SENBI. We're setting 3 targets here, the first one being 90% of our network and business services will be available. We have 100% of risk action plans, mitigation plans implemented, and we undertake to fully comply. We will have 100% compliance when it comes to our responsibility towards quarterly performance reporting, monitoring against the APP that we're presenting here today. This will include compliance with the PFMA, ensuring that cash management is adequate, and we align the reporting system of the organization to the estimate of national expenditure. We will be doing or addressing the targets in accordance with the prescripts, and for this we will be supported by the Department of Environmental Affairs. Continuing with the building, dealing with the rendering effective and efficient corporate services, we do have a performance indicator that has to do with marketing the brand of Sandy and ensuring that we bring visitors to the garden. We do have a baseline that was set previously in 2015-2016, and some of the activities that we engage in is the attendance of exhibitions, shows, campaigns, and we use as much as possible internal mechanisms such as the letters that are written to by the CEO to the staff, and these are also made available to some of our stakeholders. For the coming financial year, we are planning to have 102 activities, which will be a diversity of the ones that I have mentioned. Honorable members, Program 2 is structured to manage, unlock the benefits that are related to the network of the botanical gardens that we manage. And the first strategic objective in this program, we have two strategic objectives. The first one has got a target that is related to the number of indigenous plant species that are added to the living collection. And for the next financial year, we're planning on adding additional 20 plant species. And still on this performance strategic objective or performance indicator, we have indicated here that in the past, we had undertaken to establish two new botanical gardens. The chair has put emphasis, the chairperson of our board has put emphasis on our commitment to complete additional work related to the Toyando Botanical Garden. For the 2018-2019 financial year, we will prioritize the improvement and the upgrading of all other buildings that are in our gardens. We will make sure that for the Toyando Botanical Garden, we work on the site development plan and we complete the cultural heritage survey. The second garden that we are adding to the collection of gardens is the garden in the Eastern Cape, the Gwelekga National Botanical Garden. For the 2018-2019 financial year, what we will be doing in Gwelekga has to do with the basic assessment report, addressing the infrastructure, and ensuring that we appoint staff where necessary. And in this case, we plan to appoint an environmental control officer. For the rest of the gardens, we will initiate 45 projects for the year, and this will be reported upon accordingly. The second strategic objective for this program is the nature-based tourism, the recreational activities that we offer. We plan to strengthen this and make sure that they contribute to Sandy's sustainability. And for the coming year, we're looking at increasing the number of visitors by 5%. Noting that in the past year, specifically 2016-2017, we had more than 2 million visitors coming to the gardens. So for the 2018-2019 financial year, we plan to increase the figure by 5%. The third program, honorable members, is on building the foundational biodiversity science. We have set a number of targets, the first one being making sure that we compile information on 4,200 species. We will do four ecosystem classifications, they will be updated. We will address the biodiversity records in our database, and for the financial year in question, we plan to do 56,000 of the biodiversity records. Still on, my apology, I just want to go back to program three. Still on program three, we wish to highlight that what we are doing is seen as very critical, and on this particular program, we do work a lot with the Department of Science and Technology, and we have benefited from financial support from the National Research Foundation. Program 4 is on the assessment, the monitoring, and the reporting on the state of biodiversity, and this is including our responsibility towards addressing climate change. For the coming financial year, starting with the strategic objective on new biodiversity knowledge, we have set a target, and the target includes 85 publications, 45 plans. These plans have to do with the invasive species. We will do 65 new analyses, and the analyses are still on invasive species. We will ensure that there are two networks operating. The networks that we are referring to are networks that have to do with the cooperative research, and they are intended to generate knowledge, and they are in accordance with the mandate of the institute. Program 4 is also responsible for ensuring that there is scientific evidence provided related to the status of biodiversity, and this is captured in the strategic objective. For the financial year, we have two targets under this objective, the one being a major national biodiversity assessment. The last biodiversity assessment was done in 2011. For the 2018-2019 financial year, we plan to complete the biodiversity assessment, and we're planning that by the end of the financial year, the Minister of Environmental Affairs will be able to launch the report as tabled. The second objective that is related to this strategic objective on scientific evidence is on non-detrimental findings that are done by the scientific authority. The baseline that was set is a baseline that goes back to 2015-2016. For 2018-2019, we will address only one non-detrimental finding. I wish to emphasize, honorable members, that non-detrimental findings are very critical because they do influence the manner in which trade is done on wildlife between South Africa and other countries. They also influence other initiatives such as the biodiversity economy, because on the basis of the finding, it is easier then for the minister or the senior officials to make decisions related to certain species that are targeted. The fifth program is the provision of biodiversity policy advice and access to biodiversity information and support for climate change. We have set targets for addressing the strategic objectives. The strategic objective is to ensure that tools are provided to support management and conservation of biodiversity, either developed or applied in this case. For 2018-2019, we will produce two environmental decision support tools. We will make sure that there are three knowledge resources that are made available, and this will be on the basis of biodiversity informatics and ensuring that biodiversity is streamlined. They will be shared with the stakeholders. We will also plan and coordinate 5 learning events as well as 4 training sessions. The learning events and the training sessions are very important because they allow us to enhance our responsibility to work with our stakeholders. And in the past, they have made sure that we emphasize biodiversity planning. This is done through the Biodiversity Planning Forum. We've worked on other ecosystems such as grasslands. We have supported the Ministry of Environmental Affairs when it comes to the biodiversity stewardship program, and there are indications that they are valuable, and we should continue holding the coordination events and the training sessions. Beyond that, honorable members, these sessions are quite critical because they create the linkage between what we do nationally and allow us to work with the provinces and the municipalities. There are two additional targets that are set, and one target is under the access to biodiversity data, information and knowledge provided. For 2018-2019, there will be an increase on the baseline. We're planning to publish 54,000 records. And when it comes to our responsibility to provide scientific advice and support national and international policy processes, we will continue to do that. But in this instance, honorable members should take note that the SENBI or the Institute responds on the basis of the request that would come from the minister. But as we indicate here, our intention is to make sure that each and every written request that comes through will be attended to. Two other targets are presented here under policy support and on climate change related matters. What we will do in the next financial year, I'm presenting two targets. One will be a coordination mechanism that we will work on in collaboration with DEA, and we plan to make sure that the lessons that we learn out of dealing with or addressing climate change will be shared with either at a national level or at global events to make sure that we are able to give credence to the projects that we previously funded. Program 6, honorable members, is to provide human capital development, education awareness in response to our mandate. We are planning to continue to support tertiary education, and in this case, our commitment is that we will support 100 black biodiversity professionals, and they will be able to participate in structured internships as well as postgraduate studentships. Members may take note that the baseline gives you a number of 930, whereas we're now presenting a target of 100. The explanation that we provide here is that in that 930 is a baseline that goes back to 2015-2016 when we had additional support from National Treasury. We were able to do a program called the Funsebenza, that is why the number is very high. So the 100 black professionals that we are referring to are going to be solely funded by the budget that is allocated to SENBI. In order to improve careers programming for biodiversity, the Institute will visit 15 universities in the next financial year, holding career exhibitions to try and attract young people into the biodiversity sector. We have a way of working with the schools. It was interesting listening to Isimangaliso. In our case, our target is 64,000 beneficiaries for the 2018-2019 financial year, and we will celebrate 9 environmental days. We work with civil society, and because of the contribution of civil society, we are able to enhance our ability to contribute to science, monitoring, and biodiversity conservation. We're planning to continue with the 3 platforms that are already established, and we will add 2 more platforms in the new year. The existing platforms are given there. The one has to do with the crew, and the other one is related to bird monitoring, and the one is the ice spot. And the 3 of them have been reported upon to the portfolio committee in the past. Honorable members, the 7th program is the new one that we referred to earlier on, and it highlights the responsibility of the National Zoological Garden. The National Zoological Garden is expected to manage and unlock biodiversity conservation and contribute to the overall mandate, which is quite aligned to the broader mandate of SENBI. For the National Zoological Garden, we are presenting three strategic objectives, the first one being to build a center of research or training excellence and to be an authoritative source of scientific information on the biodiversity of wild animals and their ecosystems. The second one is to create a platform for engaging the public on the science of life. This is about awareness, education, and communication. The third one is to develop a zoological garden which has got a conservation focus. We have set targets. When it comes to the number of research papers that will be published in collaboration with the Department of Education, we're setting a target of 35 papers. When it comes to creating a platform to engage the public, we're setting a target of visitors to the zoo, and the target for the year is 432,000, and specifically for the learner, the target is 160,000. The additional work that the zoo does on research and conservation, it allows them to publish what is called a stat book, and for the financial year there is an intention to publish such five stat books.
What are they?
Stat books are rather, should I
yeah,
invite Craig to explain what they are. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson, for the opportunity to explain what a stud book is. Stud book is the effective management of a population group. So you'll develop a stud book for a certain species of animal, such as cheetah, blue crane, wattle crane. So that basically determines what population is available and how to effectively conserve the population going forward, determining which genetic movements need to occur within the population. And this is specifically done in an ex situ environment, as an environment outside of the natural area where the animal occurs. And it's basically a collaborative effort of ex situ facilities within South Africa. Jefferson, I hope that explains
to you. Effort of what?
Of managing populations in a captive environment, if I may use those terminologies.
So you're in situ.
In situ and ex situ, yes, Jefferson. In situ would be in wildlife, in the wild natural environment,
okay.
And ex situ would be
in a captive environment.
Could be a captive environment or a reintroduced environment, yes,
Jefferson. So this book, what does it? So this book helps you to manage this population.
That's great, Jefferson. Yes. Yes, it ensures that population that's been identified within that ex situ environment is sustainable and that you're contributing to the saving and sustainability of that species.
Okay. So what is PASA?
Chairperson, PASA is the Regional Zoo Association for Africa, which is, as I mentioned, a regional association of the World Association of Zoos and Aquaria, which is the collective bodies of zoos worldwide. So PASA is the Regional Association for Africa.
Thank you very
much.
I have too much to cover.
Okay.
Chairperson, thank you very much. What I have presented are the targets that are set for the 7 programs, now including the National Zoological Garden. The committee can take note that the targets that are presented are annual targets. Mm. The annual performance plan that was tabled in Parliament indicates what we have committed to on a quarterly basis. So what we presented are overall highlights of what we will do on an annual basis. Chairperson, may I please hand over to the CFO to present the budget.
Okay.
Thank you.
We still have to. I think we must just learn more about this stuff. We need to have a session where we can then have a better understanding, just that program. Understand? I think we must create that platform, Chair. to come and educate the committee.
I'm actually coming here. I'm actually thinking of, because we there's a plan to do the and then do that workshop.
Depending on the availability of, depending on whether it's our oversight period or what. But I think we must just liaise and see if we can do that. Just brief of a brief workshop to introduce members on, especially these concepts that they are used, that we can then understand and are able to follow when you talk to us about that program. Okay, CEO. So we'll liaise then with the chair and the department and identify an appropriate date. CFO.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, CEO. Good morning, honorable members and to the chairperson. I will be taking you through the budget estimate for 2018-2019 financial year. Overall, we are budgeting total income of 750 million and corresponding expenditure equal to the income. 51% of our budget will be coming from government allocation, MTF, that is a total of 386 million, and we have a further 10%, 73 million, that will also be funded by government. We have projects of 14%, 106 million that has been budgeted for and secured for the financial year. And internally, we will be generating income of 184 million, representing 25%. There will be various mechanisms that we'll be using to generate the income, such as what we currently have as tenants through restaurants or in our gardens, and also through gate fees. The budget for the National Zoological Garden is included in this presentation. It is included in the 750 million. On spending allocations, we are budgeting 52% to be spent on employees, represented as 393 million. 25% will be on operational expenditure, 189 million, and infrastructure will be 10%, 73 million, and project 13%. Being 94 million. Overall, on employee costs, the bulk of our employee costs will be going towards our core business, which is represented by National Botanical Gardens, National Zoological Gardens, Research Policy and Knowledge Management. On this core business, we will be spending a total of 331 million. Which is 85% of the total allocation on employee costs. On the botanical and zoological side, those two functions are quite labor intensive, therefore requiring a substantial amount of headcount, while the research and policy knowledge and knowledge management division is quite intellectual and knowledge based. Administration, we are allocating 13%, 52 million, and towards group only 2%, 9 million. It is worth noting that for group, it is related to the whole organization, implying that it will be still be allocated depending on how it's decided upon. So it will be finding items such as performance bonuses, which is kept at 1.5% of employee costs, job evaluations, notch increases, and other awards. operating expenditure, once again, the bulk of the operating expenditure goes to the core business, being the three areas I've just mentioned, and that accounts for 73% of the budget, being 139 million. 22% of the allocation goes to administration, which is 41 million, and 5% to group, which is to fund for audit expenses and insurance costs. Overall, our spending allocation, core business receives 81% of the total budget allocation, 25% goes to the National Botanical Gardens, 20% National Zoological Gardens, and 36% to research, policy, and knowledge management. Administration gets 14%, 102 million, and group gets 35 million, which is 5%. Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson and the honourable members, the rest of the presentation addresses the strategic risks that the organisation faces, as well as an indication of the mitigation plan. What we have done, we have presented the challenges that are associated with each of the strategic objectives. But Chair, with your permission, maybe I need not go through all of them. I can just go to Program 7, which is a new area of operation for the organization. For each of the strategic objectives, we have done an analysis, and we were able to identify what could pose a challenge. We have highlighted what would be the risk to the organization if the challenge is not addressed, in other words, the consequence. And the last column indicates our plan to mitigate the identified challenges. If I go to Program 7, which is our new area of responsibility, we wish to highlight that the major strategic risk to the NZG is the lack of capital investment to maintain the infrastructure and the equipment. The second area of concern is lack of sufficient funding for science engagement. The third area, which is associated with strategic objective number 2, still is around resourcing or the budgeting. We require optimal resourcing framework that should be developed, and in this case we're highlighting that even though this was considered, we're still at a point where there hasn't been acceptance by the Environmental Affairs and National Treasury. The fourth area of concern is related to lack of funding to properly maintain and improve infrastructure and renew the animal collection. We wish to emphasize, honorable members, that it's an area that requires immediate attention, because unlike what we have managed before, botanical gardens, managing a national zoological garden is much more challenging because we're dealing with live animals. What we have put as a way of mitigating the challenges is highlighted here. We have put a lot of effort to secure additional funding to address the shortages that are related to infrastructure and the maintenance as well as the servicing of contracts. We are continuing to pursue measures such as the accreditation, possibly by the Department of Science and Technology, because if the zoo is classified as a science center, that opens a window of opportunity when it comes to additional resources in money. When it comes to our engagement with the...
What is SASTA?
Chairperson, SASTA is the South African Agency for Science and Technology Advancement. It's a business unit of the National Research Foundation, specifically mandated at driving science communication and science engagement effectively generating the next generation of scientists.
Thank you, and my apology for using acronyms without explaining them. I was referring to our engagement with Environmental Affairs and National Treasury. Chairperson and members of the Portfolio Committee, we are continuing to impress on the Ministry and National Treasury that this is a matter that requires urgent attention. The last area has to do again with our engagement with the National Treasury and Environmental Affairs. So we wish to assure the honorable members that we're not idle. We are really collaborating and emphasizing and indicating to Environmental Affairs that this is an area of need. Chairperson, that is the end of the presentation, and thank you very much for the opportunity.
Okay. All right, thank you very much, members. Questions? Honorable Khadebe, then come.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Actually, the CEO covered me a little bit with regards to the introduction of this new program and the financial implications. But I would also like to pose the question, have they looked into why they are reducing the capacity building for the employees to 1% in light of the view that they will be now this program, the new program that will be introduced according to, and also identified in your strategic objective as the risk, strategic objective 1.1, that you need to have skills, especially in that new program. I would like to have you take that into consideration, the incorporation of this new program, when you revise downwards the percent, the overall expenditure for the employee training or the allocation that will be made available for the employee. Have you taken that into consideration? That would be my main concern if that is not taken into consideration, because you've got now a new program which is coming from a very highly specialized environment where you need people with the specialized skills, and they need to keep up with the innovation as well as the development that is happening in that specific environment. So my main concern is around that, Chairperson. Otherwise, everything looks well for me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jay. My question would be on Program 6, slide 31. I would like to know, your baseline is 930 black professionals that were developed. You did explain why it's only going to 100, etc. That's fine, I understand that. But I would like to know, as a result of the experience gained, these 930 professionals, how many of them have jobs at the moment and are working? And whether Zambi made a conscious effort to help these people to find jobs, whether it's, you know, writing letters or using contacts, etc., etc. And then also whether the organization know where these 930 individuals are at the moment. And then secondly, I'd like to know, you are going to have a couple of universities. The target is 15 universities that's going to participate in your biodiversity careers program. I'd like to know how you'll decide which universities will get to participate and, you know, who won't. Like, just maybe the criteria. Let's do that. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Honorable Nyambi.
Thank you, Chair. I'm talking the baseline we have published in 2017 is 117. then there is an additional of 85 for 2018-2019. Then I want to know that it means the total will be 202 for the SAD. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. Again, the report is well presented. An indication that the CEO has now settled as well in the institutions. Thanks. Just a few questions. One, just to understand whether with the National Zoological Garden having been or going to be phased in, is everything smooth, the inclusion or there are challenges, or it's only that the challenges are reasonable and we are going to be able to deal with them, particularly as it relates to personnel and so on, so everybody satisfied, so everything will be manageable. The second point is with regard to the 3% of persons with disabilities, is your target. Just to be reminded of your status now, where you are, and whether most institutions are struggling to achieve the 2% by government. Are you at 2% already, or you think 3%, or that is in anticipation to the inclusion of persons coming from the National Zoological Gardens, you are now able to reach that target. The third issue, with regard to the new garden, the Twando one, I knew there were issues that caused you not to move with speed in that regard. Other issues were outside your mandate that were related to either naming of the garden, whatever, in terms of the stakeholders there. Is everything in order that you dealt with all the challenges? So it's just implementation and no other issues affecting you. Slide 27. The talk of 70, the baseline talk of 70 knowledge resources, and on the annual target it talks of the 3 knowledge resources. What accounts for the huge difference? Perhaps because there are some details given there, that one does not understand what is the difference between all of those. You can explain better. I will understand about yourself. The last but one, I know that in government there's always continuity and so on and so on. And probably as you inherit the institution, National Zoological Garden, you inherit everything else. And to the extent that you seem to be comfortable in everything they are baseline. You don't want to start from a clean slate and have your own and so on. Are you so comfortable with that? I know they give you a feedback what they have been doing and so on and so on. But to what extent are you comfortable? Check the last point, which is not so serious. On the list of acronyms and abbreviations, that's for the full integration of the National Zoological Gardens in the fathers and the fathers must be there. For ease of reference, you know. So that it's not just the programs and the policies and so on, but everything else is included. Those are just mere references. It may be that there are many other things that when you cleanse and look at it, you may find it good to include so that we can have the ease of reference, even if we have not asked you questions all the time. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
CEO.
Chair. Okay, Honorable Peden, I thought you were not going to ask today.
I was politely coming in at the end.
Oh, okay. You're sleepy. You're sleepy.
Quickly, I mostly covered by my colleagues, but Program 1 speaks of 102 activities. If someone could just explain where they're going to take place, those activities. And then, if Craig could just roughly give us an indication what's the zoological garden has been earning. And we told 393,000 visitors last year, but what sort of income? We see the expenses, 151 million budget, but what has it been earning?
Okay. Chair and the CEO, you decide to answer which question.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Thank you, Chairperson and Honourable Members. Starting with a question from Honourable Khadebe, related to our commitment to skills development. In the past, we had a target of 2%. The 2% is related to, it is not 2% of the numbers of staff, it's 2% of the total allocation to the organization.
That's what I meant.
Unfortunately, Honorable Member, we have funding or allocation challenges, and we then took a decision that we can no longer be able to meet the 2% target, and it was revised downwards to 1%. The 1% was also the same for the previous financial year. So coming into 2018-2019, we now have the old SENDI, including the National Zoological Garden. What we are presenting for the members to consider is that 1% of the new budget of the new organization will then be allocated to skills development. It may not be adequate, but Honorable Member, we have serious constraints when it comes to the budget allocation. I hope that this will be acceptable. We wish we could do more, and thank you. The question from Honorable Stian Kamp on the number of professionals that were previously attended to, I will request our DDG to respond to that one because it is related to a previous program. She will also address the question on the publication from Honorable Nyambi and the one from Honorable Makubele, I believe, on knowledge resources. I will then go back to Honorable Stiengam. You asked us a question on why are we have selected 15 universities as the institutions that we would work with, and you wish to know which ones we would be working with. The members can take note that overall South Africa has got 26 universities, and we have opted to work with 15 for the next financial year, and our bias will obviously be for historically disadvantaged institutions. And as far as possible, it will go beyond just working with them. With some of the universities, we are entering into memorandums of understanding so that it's not just a career exhibition, but it is much more than that. For example, for this year, we have signed a memorandum of understanding with the University of Mpumalanga, and we want to work with them in the Lowveld Garden. We're looking at an option of working with the University of Fort Hare as a new garden in the Eastern Cape in Gwelekha. So we really are committed to making sure that we go beyond just the career exhibitions. Then I will then address the issues that were raised by Honorable Makubele regarding the National Zoological Garden. Honorable Makubele and the members, we cannot say we are 100% satisfied or ready to manage the zoo. There are challenges. I will give the opportunity to the chairperson to reflect, to share with the members overall where we are. But the members can take note that the challenges that remain have to do with the allocation of funds to address the backlog when it comes to the infrastructure for the zoo, the look and the feel of the place. The zoo is it hasn't been invested in for a number of years, so that is a challenge. The other area of concern, which maybe we should present for the members to take note of, is that because it is a transfer, we have an obligation to address a number of issues related to labor relations. What we have done so far is to communicate as adequately as possible to assure the staff members of the National Zoological Gardens that after the 1st of April, their rights, their conditions of service, their benefits will not be tampered with, so they have that assurance. But being a taking over of a function, there is an indication that the incoming staff members are likely to want to be given the equal access that the current SENBI employees have when it comes to conditions of service and privileges. But I will leave that to the chairperson of the board just to reflect on. Then the question on Toyando Botanical Garden. Honorable member, we still have a challenge. We are working, but the pace of work is held back by the outstanding resolution of the land claim that is affecting the garden as well as the overall Toyando area. But that has not stopped SENBI from carrying on with infrastructure work and appointing critical staff as required. And we are working with the Department of Environmental Affairs and Tourism, not Environmental Affairs and Tourism, the Department of Environmental Affairs to address the issue of the land claim. And I must add, we are working with the Department of Tourism, DG. They have made a financial commitment when it comes to the development of the garden. So we do have good news. Chair, I can only apologize for the list of acronyms that was incomplete. And may I come back to the question of disability? I will now hand over to Ms. Carmel just to address the other questions. But before she comes in, there was a question from the honorable member. Now he's out of the room. Okay. Thank you, ma'am. He asked a question on the activities that we're planning around marketing. For the financial year, we're planning to have 102 activities. The activities are diverse. They are scaled out at the national level. They could be, some are garden specific, but overall what we tend to do is to attend exhibitions. We get invitations sometimes from provinces where we hold stands and we market SENBI. We go to shows. We make sure that our internet presence is there. We do what young people prefer. We are onto Twitter. We are onto Facebook. So overall, it's a mixture of activities, but all of them are geared towards making sure that people are aware of what SENBI does, and when they have time, they do visit the gardens. Chair, in his absence, and honorable members, I will invite Mr. Allenby just to respond to the last question on the income of the National Zoological Garden and the spending. When it comes to people with disability, the achievements that you were asking, the question was about if we're setting a target of 3%, where are we now? We can report to the members that in the past, we were at this figure of 3% of our staff have disabilities. Maybe going forward, what we ought to consider is how we relook at the numbers, considering that we're now getting the National Geological Garden. Honorable members, thank you. I will hand over to Ms. Kamel and Mr. Allenby. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, honorable members. My response is a very easy one. The NZGE's total turnover is in the region of 130 million rand per year, of which approximately 50% is core grant, that is the MTEF allocation, and the remainder then is generated through the application for additional funding from various other government entities, and then from revenue that's generated through our own activities, such as the entrance fees to the National Zoological Gardens, concessionaires, parking areas, so additional services that the zoo charges for. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. Just to add on the issue of our marketing and promotion, our quarterly targets gives you a really nice breakdown on exactly what they are and what we're doing per quarter. So that's also in the annual report. Thank you. On the issue of the number of publications, as our honourable member stated, last year we had 117 publications. Our target for last year was the same as this year, 85, but we managed to exceed that target last year, and it was mainly because we had a special journal issue on invasives, and that allowed us to actually publish more than we had actually planned to publish. So we've kept the annual target same as last year for this year as 85. Thank you. On the issue of our knowledge resources, what the baseline provides for you there is what we've achieved to date, but we've actually kept last year's target. So our target, once again, is three knowledge resources annually, but the baseline actually gives you for the last few years. So there's been no change in the actual target around knowledge resources. Thanks. On the issue of our Frumsebenza pioneers, so like we said, we were able to achieve that big target through the Job Fund project, and we now have a monitoring program that tracks where those pioneers are, where they're currently employed, and what they're doing, and which ones are gainfully employed and which ones aren't. And they tend to range across the sectors and also, you know, from government to non-governmental to private. And Sandy itself also had Krumsebenza pioneers that we incubated, and we also have now employed some of those. You know, they applied for jobs that were available and they got them. So we have quite a number currently employed within Sandy. Thanks. Thank you, Honourable Chair. I think I've covered all the questions.
Chair, would you like to respond to some of them?
Thank you very much, Chair. The first one, I'm just going to go back and revisit your question about the 1%. I know the CEO has explained, but also just to have an understanding that the 1%, even though the zoo is coming over to us, it's a 1% across the board. So it's not a numerical figure. The numerical figure will go high because it's not going to be enough. It's still not going to be enough, but the amount of money that will be allocated will be higher. The zoological gardens, Mr. Makwela, you're spot on. It's not an easy thing to take over. As a board, as soon as we were informed that the zoological garden will be transferred to Sandy, we understood that we need to do a little bit more work to look at how we're going to absorb them into the environment. One of the first things that we did was to get management to really have a plan of action and to highlight the challenges that you will have, the advantages and the challenges.
And we immediately insisted that they actually get a resource, an outside resource. So we were assisted by DTEC to really, really dig deep and really get up a good understanding of what the challenges are, but also how to deal with the challenges. Among them is the question of funding. The zoo were funded by NRF, and I'm gonna let Craig also add on because he understands the issues a little bit deeper than I would. So there was a way that NRF was funding the zoo that we don't have the necessary finances to deal with that. So it's something that we're dealing with, and we've decided as SNB to escalate the financial challenges to the mother body. The union issue is another matter. Sanbi has a union that we've been working with, it's in the house, that we've been working with very well. The zoo has got their own union, and they're already starting to push back. I think the CEO has also already spoken about the condition of citizens and the benefits, and they insisted that they should have the same benefits. And yes, Section 197 doesn't say so. So that's not something that we're dealing with. We'll see how we manage that. But also, when you get new people coming into your organization, there are challenges. They're coming in, they've got their own way of doing things. The Sanbi staff have their own way of doing things. So we're going to engage in a process of 2 to 3 years of change management so that they can get accustomed to Sanbi's way of doing things, and Sanbi staff also to get accustomed to having a new kid at home. So that's one of the things that we're looking at. Also, the other thing is when you look at the zoo, they've been running and operating as an entity. So you see that there's going to be a duplication of services. For instance, finance, we've got our own finance department, they have their own. So we have to see how we're going to integrate that. They have their own HR, we have our own HR. Marketing department, our own marketing department. We were also advised by GTEC that for 2 years we should reinvent the zoo so that the challenges and the impact, negative or positive, that may come to must not affect the way Sanbi has been running this business. So we're going to manage it. They will be on board, but for instance, the payroll, the payroll is going to still be done, you know, and many others that maybe so it's not an easy thing to do. With everybody, we decided that actually we're going to highlight it as one of the things that we have to look at very carefully. Every quarter, they have to come back to the board to report wholly on the process that we can follow up in terms of some services to us. We are advised to ring fence it for 2 years, but this current board, so we are of the view that since this is our last year, we would like to expedite the ring fencing so that we can finish it within a year, so that the new board doesn't come in and have headaches and progress that we have here. But it's work in progress, it's not easy, but we're doing the best that we can. So you may want to add whatever I know for.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Honourable members, I think the board chair of Sanbi has quite eloquently highlighted some of the challenges, and I think just to add on to specifically the area she asked me to cover around finance, it deals specifically with the way in which the NZG has been resourced in the past, and large portions of its mandate actually were not funded. That's why the decision to move the NZG from the NRF and the Department of Science and Technology to Department of Environmental Affairs and subsequently Sanbi is a far better fit for the organization because it allows for a complete funding of mandate. Large portions of investment from the Department of Science and Technology and the National Research Foundation was into creating the science infrastructure at the NZG and not necessarily the conservation tourism component of it. So that's where a lot of the backlog has come from. And then there's also an historical misalignment of funding as well, where the MTF allocation does not adequately cover the salary component of the NZG. So So that's always at the start of the financial year, before you even open the doors, you're sitting with a deficit that you have to make up in terms of the MTF allocation and your ongoing expenses. So I think that's around the historical perspective. And then some of the challenges around the funding going forward relate to, obviously, the upgrading of the infrastructure, but then also the funding required to harmonize the benefits, as already alluded to. Thank you very much, honorable members.
Where we are probably, yes, DJ, I thought you needed to add particularly on this one, but I wanted to as well to hand over to the chair, particularly just on how NZG is being faced in. But I do think that even as the DJ asked, we may not adequately deal with that. Probably at the workshop that we're seeing, want to familiarize ourselves with the whole thing, we can still get an update as to how we will have handled it. But if you ring that it less than 3 years, the possibility is that people may even lose jobs thereafter, and so on. But you will tell us how you will deal with that part, how you will harmonize the whole thing. But DG, over to you, then Chair can conclude the issue thereafter.
Thank you. Thank you, honorable members. Just to first contextualize why the functional fit to DIA and SANDI. In terms of the Biodiversity Act, paragraph 11, section I, that paragraph outlines the functions of SANDI as an institute, as a biodiversity institute that may establish, maintain, protect, and preserve collections of animals and microorganisms in appropriate enclosures. So historically, honorable members, we used to have just only botanical garden or the botanical institute, not necessarily the garden, which was just focusing on the collections of plants and plant species and genetic materials. And when the Biodiversity Act then was promulgated, it then established SANDI as a biodiversity institute to include animal collection preservation. So when the Minister of Science and Technology presented the challenges of continuing under DST and also under NRF, which is the National Research Foundation, the foundation, there was then the decision that we need to explore this transfer, and then the ministers arrived at that decision on the basis of the functional fit in that respect. So I thought I should give that background as the basis. Secondly, then as per the transfer, we did analyze what the funding arrangements are currently under DST and NRF and what would be the future funding arrangements and the funding requirements. Hence, the engagement of the National Treasury also in that process through their government component, which the CE and the colleagues and the chairperson were referring to as GTEC. So that study or that analysis has been undertaken. So we understand what we are taking over, the condition of the zoological garden and what the gaps are, both in terms of the infrastructure investment, human resource or human capital development requirements into the future. So there is a gap in terms of funding and our discussion between Treasury and DST, then there was an agreement that DST would augment funding for a period of 2-3 years, and I would go back to provide those details, honorable members. However, what Treasury then did within this current budget fiscal pressure and pressured environment, they instead did not bring us new money. They cut from the department to fund the zoological garden function under funds. But again, that was done under the current framework of what is it called? The
What is the document of the president now?
On fiscal consolidation?
No, they have a new funding mandate. The budgets now were arrived at through a paper that was discussed by cabinet based on what priorities versus the income or revenue that has been collected by SARS and the borrowing, the level of borrowing. So the decision was taken that because our borrowing, we were already meeting the threshold of 60% of GDP, we were not, as a country, going to borrow further. And therefore, we needed to reprioritize. And part of that exercise was to cut budgets of government departments, including the entity. Even Sandy was further cut by another 3%, if I may recall. So that is the situation. So the gap of the shortfall is confirmed as reported by the colleagues, and we still have to find innovative ways of funding the function and make sure that it's sustainable into the future. So I thought I should just give that, and I agree with the with that we may then have to, in the briefing session, go into those details around institutional arrangements, what capacity, what is the science headcount that we are already transferring, and what is the projected need, and how are we going to face that over time with resources permitting. My last comment, Honorable Chair, is the question that was raised by Honorable Stian Kamp on the matter of the absorption of the Khumsebenza participants. What we have as the statistics is that out of the 900 something number, 623 was initially employed, and the additional 52 was also added. So the total is 675 that has been absorbed by a number of partners. Recall, honorable members, that Khumsebenza in the concept framework was more an experiential learning program funded in partnership with the Jobs Fund, and we then undertook that the sector would at least give them a year after, even after that period. So now we have a placement of 675, which I think is regarded as a success compared to our normal absorption rates from other from the other youth programs that we have implemented as a sector. So Sandy has a number, the LIDET, Wildland Conservation Trust. We can give a list with WESA and the Northern Cape and a few other partners, including even South African National Park and even the Department of Environmental Affairs. So we have a list of who has absorbed who, enrolled university and so on, from that list took account for the 675 that was absorbed. Thank you very much.
Okay. I think I think what we'll do is to conclude the discussion now on an understanding that we will have to have a follow-up session to better understand program 7 of SANDI, and that we will do through probably a workshop that may be undertaken at the head office of the Zoological Garden in Pretoria. So we'll have to look at our program, because the only oversight week that we have will be in June, and we're looking at going to KZN to do oversight on something that we're supposed to do now, but because the programmer suggested we're not able to do on the entire thing. And we have received a request from Sandy to also visit some other facility there in KZN.
So that's what we are looking at now. So it might mean that we will have to identify one Friday, the members are three, and then do that trip. For half a day or a full day workshop. And then get to better understand the program and the challenges that are there and the plans that are in place to mitigate the risks that have been identified. So I think that is something that we do. But generally the APP is fine. I think the members are happy after receiving those clarifications, are happy about the performance plan. So we will then do that. So Chair, you said the board mandate has been extended, so there are no vacancies in the board. The board is until next April. Okay, that helps. DG, you wanted to come in?
I was saying 1 year, the minister has extended the board, but then we'll rerun the process in this particular 1 year for a year, and even the others also with an extension, except the one that we were talking about earlier. As yet, I don't know whether she will...
No, that one will encourage the minister not to extend, because there are serious problems with the board. We are extremely unhappy about the board of the South African Weather Service. We think that they are not up to standards. They are not up to the challenge, up to the task. They are a threat to that institution. That's my assessment after having interacted with them a couple of times, including last week. But we will have a dedicated session for them. So we'll appeal to the minister to hold on that one. I understand their mandate is coming to an end sometime in August or something. Our recommendation from our previous report is that the minister must get rid of that board. But we are yet to have that report adopted by the House. But in the meantime, they are continuing with their destructive activities in that organization. They are treating that as their own personal fiefdom. And we don't like it. We are not going to allow it. So we will be on a collision course with them. But this is not about that. It's not about Sons, it's about Sandy today. And I think Sandy is doing well. Chair, we must congratulate you and your board. You must keep up the good work. I see the finances at the last time are beginning to be on a proper footing now. We'll continue to monitor that aspect of the board's activities. But otherwise, we are fine. Thank you, CEO. You are finding your feet now. How long have you been in the organization?
Thank you, Chair. I've now been there for 7 months.
7 months. Yeah. Okay, I think we're done, members. We were expecting to go on until a bit late, but we're done early. I don't know the arrangement about lunch. No lunch arrangement. Is it? Okay. No lunch. We don't have money in Parliament. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.
We eat no food.